Welcome to Catalysts in Conversation, presented by the National Association of School Psychologists. I'm NAS President Peter Faustino. As NAS President, I have the incredible opportunity to meet and engage with thought leaders, innovators, and advocates who are making a difference every day on the issues facing our communities. These conversations have been so inspiring to me that I wanted to ensure every NAS member got a chance to listen and be a part of them. And one thing that I've taken away from each of these interactions has been the powerful role that school psychologists can play in addressing the challenges that face children in their lives. My hope with this podcast is to empower NAS members and all school psychologists with the knowledge and motivation to be a part of these efforts. Today, I am so excited to have Dr. Claudia Santi Fernandez, who is the Director of Research and Evaluation at Born This Way Foundation, where she spearheads the foundation's research strategy and provides scientific expertise in the design and implementation of youth-led initiatives. Dr. Claudia has been instrumental in leading efforts towards mental health promotion and substance misuse prevention within educational settings. As a prevention scientist and licensed professional counselor, she brings a unique blend of academic knowledge and practical experience as a public school teacher and bilingual school counselor to her approach. A core focus of her work is amplifying youth perspectives and experiences, ensuring their voices are central to the decision-making processes. So thank you, Claudia, for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Peter, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, the pleasure is definitely mine. I'm telling you, I'm super excited. So a great starting point though is tell us about Born This Way Foundation. I think everybody knows the name, but we'd really love to know a little bit more about the organization's mission and how does it engage in some of the work that you do?
Yeah, happily. So Born This Way Foundation was co-founded by Lady Gaga and her wonderful mother, Cynthia Bissett Germanotta. And the foundation's mission is essentially to empower young people to build a kinder and braver world that supports their mental health and their well-being. And
Yeah.
so,
Oh, sorry.
yeah,
I didn't mean to
go right
interrupt.
ahead.
I was jumping out of my seat with kinder and braver. Yes, these are the things we need in schools.
Yeah, and so we do that through a multi-pronged approach. We have our research, so we have youth engaged research, and we have a youth advisory board. And those two infrastructures essentially inform our programs, our resources, our policies, our processes throughout the foundation.
That's amazing. I had the pleasure of meeting Cynthia at a mental health summit a few years ago in New York, and she is amazing, and just relentless and passionate about this work. Do you ever ask her what it's like to raise such a superstar in Lady Gaga or?
She cares so much about it. This is deeply personal to her. And so as a result of this work, she certainly elevates and really focuses on the importance of building kinder and braver communities. And that starts in our workplace, but it also extends to schools, to other communities and environments, grassroots organizations, and also it extends to online communities as well. And so this is certainly the foundation, and the work is her labor of love,
Yeah.
for sure.
Wow, that's amazing. You seem to be in all the spaces where like big things are happening. So as the director of research and evaluation, can you tell us more about youth-led initiatives and the data that you're finding that's behind like youth empowerment?
Sure. So, in my role as the Director of Research and Evaluation, one, we leverage partnerships with leading researchers. And that's important because there's so much nuanced research that we want to make sure we're paying attention to. And that is especially with particularly includes marginalized communities. And so we want to make sure that we have the most cutting edge research at our fingertips, and we're working closely with those researchers to remain informed about how to move forward in our work. In addition, we also conduct research It's youth engaged research. And so we work with young people, some from our advisory board, others, throughout programming that we have to design, develop, and evaluate our high impact programming. And so I'll give an example of this in practice, right? So through our research, we learned that the majority of young people, that they often seek support by connecting to their peers. That is a strategy that they use when they are going through a difficult time. So we know from our research that young people, they want accessible, affordable mental health resources. They want it to be culturally informed. And so we partnered with JACC.org to create the Be There Certificate. And I know you're very familiar with the Be There Certificate. The Be There Certificate is our free digital mental health resource that teaches young people how to recognize when someone may be struggling, how to understand their role in supporting that person. And then importantly, it also teaches them how to connect someone who may be struggling to the help that they need and deserve should additional support and services be needed. So that's just an example of how our research has informed the development of a program, and then we do have this program that then is impacting the lives of young people.
No, it's like brilliant in its simplicity, right? I mean, it's like it makes sense that peers are seeking peers when, especially when they're teenagers, right? I mean, we know that this is where they go. And why not have more of a standardized, consistent message? At least we sort of know then, right? Like what that conversations are going to look like as opposed to maybe getting bad advice. But I love that it's all tied to research as well. I mean, you're just a passion.
Absolutely. And again, it's intervening when there's an onset of potential symptoms that haven't escalated, right? And when they do, if they do escalate, then it's time to see your school psychologist, be referred there. But it's also incredibly impactful and helpful and valuable to have a peer who may actually have skills in mental health literacy or may have lived experience provide support and have the language to provide support. Because that shared language allows you to feel connected. And we know how powerful interpersonal relationships are at this important time and in young people's lives.
I have to suspect that many of the youth that are engaging with your Be There certificate and getting involved in your Youth Mental Health Academy or advisory board, I should say, are the future counselors, school psychologists, school social workers, mental health professionals, and they're feeling the urge to help now. I mean, it's great that you're finding that spot and space for them.
Well, we're also thrilled to share that over 50,000 people around the world have actually earned their Be There certificates, which
Gosh.
is
Oh
pretty
my
amazing
gosh.
and pretty telling of the need that is there.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, for sure. You mentioned school psychologists. I appreciate that, right? Can you share some thoughts about how school psychologists can empower their students, specifically to support youth mental health, bullying, and really just making our schools more inclusive for LGBTQ students? I think that's of great importance to our listeners.
For sure. And that's an important question. In 2021, there was actually a peer-reviewed paper that was published. And importantly, it noted that LGBTQ plus supportive school policies were significantly associated with improved psychosocial health outcomes among both LGBTQ plus students and non-LGBTQ plus students. So I highlight that study because oftentimes we are asked the question of how do we better support LGBTQ plus youth? And when we think about when we create a school of belonging for all students, especially those who are marginalized, to be included, involved, supported, and to feel safe, we're creating essentially a community of kindness for all. And to me, this makes sense, right? Like this makes sense that we are that these that are supporting Students, LGBTQ plus students, we're bringing everybody into the fold of our community. And so when we honor and recognize every young person for their beautiful and unique selves and their identities, their unique identities, what we see and what we know is that all students thrive. So importantly, it's just creating safe, supportive, and kind school communities. And we also know that this extends to the online space as well. And certainly, all of this must be informed by the young people in our communities.
Yeah. I thank you, Claudia. I mean, really, I'm sort of hanging on your every word, nodding my head. I know people can't see that on a podcast, right? But this idea of creating a sense of belonging, I was recently presenting at a state conference, and one of the attendees shared that when they start this conversation with some in their school, the pushback is often like, well, I'm not a mental health professional. I'm not experienced or trained to do this. But when you change that conversation to, we want to create a sense of belonging, can you help us? We want to create a community of kindness, can you help us? I can't think of anybody that works with children that would say no to that.
Well, and I always like to go back to the research because when we know the importance of having one trusted adult in a young person's life. Now, that trusted adult, it doesn't say one trusted adult who's a mental health professional. It is one trusted adult who shows empathy, who is supportive, who you can confide in or go to, right? And again, that's why it's so important to equip people, young people and trusted adults even with mental health literacy skills to know when it is time to escalate and potentially pull in, an outpatient provider or a school psychologist, a school social worker, or someone who has the expertise to provide an additional level of support.
Right. Barriers to this work? I mean, where do you find that? We're speaking to each other and we're sort of geeking out and like, yes, and yes, and. But
Totally.
when people are listening to this podcast and I'm traveling around the country, a lot of people say it's hard to get engaged in this work. And I'm wondering what barriers you see from Born This Way.
Well, they're not essentially not from Born This Way as much as just like an overall interest in exploring and learning more. I think there's always the barriers, it's sometimes that the research hasn't caught up with some of the questions that we are asking right now. So there is a large focus on social media at the moment. And we, to stay on track with what we're talking about around LGBTQ plus youth, we recently launched a survey with Hope Lab in partnership with Hope Lab to better understand the unique intersectional needs and experiences of LGBTQ plus young people in their online communities. So from our previous research, we learned that often LGBTQ plus young people often seek support in online spaces. So again, the research is it hasn't caught up, and so we need to learn more, and that's why we are conducting this study to learn more, to have it be informed by young people, their experiences online, so that we as adults and as the tech community and as we think of policies, that we can provide the guardrails so that they can share in a safe space in the online community when they are seeking support online. Because what's important is to keep them safe. And if it's providing support, how do we keep them safe as they're seeking support? So we just finished wrapped up data collection with which is really exciting. Our sample size is 1,271 young people who identify as LGBTQ plus. In addition, 50% of that sample identify as Black, Indigenous, young people of color, and 55% identify as trans and gender diverse young people as well. So we are really trying to better understand the unique needs, even within subgroups of LGBTQ plus communities, as well as look at intersectional differences as well to think about, well, how can we meet and provide your needs? I'm really excited to share this because we have we're in the middle of analyzing this data, which is incredibly exciting.
I feel like we're going to get a sneak peek at something.
I,
This is
you're getting a
great.
little sneak peek, so you got your popcorn. What we're also doing again, and Peter, I know you and I are very similar in this vision that we love research and we can geek out about research, but it is so important that the research then is applied and is actionable recommendations, and there is something to be done with it, right? And you and I have had extensive conversations about this space and how important it is to both of us. And so the next step that we are doing is we'll be looking at our findings, and we are partnering with Centerlink. The goal is to then take our findings that we have from the research that we conducted with Hope Lab and to conduct focus groups with Centerlink, and they work with organizations across the United States, LGBTQ plus organizations across the United States. And our goal and our hope is to participants will be LGBTQ plus young people, as well as those who work directly and provide care to LGBTQ plus young people. And they will look over our findings to help us identify some actionable strategies and recommendations based off of it that in a one pager that will be disseminated throughout organizations to have something concrete to deliver from our research.
Oh, thank you. I love that response. I mean, I guess when I ask about barriers to the work, what a terrific answer that we still need more research in this space. And really, we're probably not sampling the students that you described around their intersectionality online experiences and what that looks like. And then all of that has to translate to practice. I mean, as a practitioner, I geek out, I love the research, but at some point I read it and then I say, but now what, right? I mean, how do I get this in the hands of the practitioners who quite often are the school psychologists who would be listening to this to say, okay, I hear you. Now what? And it sounds like you at the Born This Way Foundation and the work you're doing are pushing to ask those very same questions, not only the research, but what do we do with it?
Absolutely. And one example is, even going to Meta's launch of Teen Accounts recently, and there are these new features that are part of Instagram, right? Thinking about how this research can potentially inform their next iteration as they continue to improve, enhance features that are a part of to keep teen young people safe, and also to be informed by young people. That's an important part of this because these are features that we want them, to be safe and also maintain their privacy and their autonomy as well during these developmental stages of life.
That is also one of the things I've always sort of like loved talking to you about, Claudia, is when we talk about the social media space, there's a lot of fear mongering. And every time with you, it's been about the positivity, not only in your research and in your work, but I mean, it's in your mission of what you do at this Born This Way Foundation, build a kinder world. You're saying we can learn stuff to make all of this better instead of just sort of like, scaring individuals to think that it's that bad. So that is awesome.
Yeah, and just that importance of doubling down on building a kinder and braver community, right? And that extends to the online space. We do spend time online. Social media is not going anywhere. And certainly we have there are guardrails that we can put in place. And I think it's important to also make sure that we're meeting young people where they're at, and we're working with them to develop solutions and plans about how to approach this. Because what we do know that zero tolerance policies rarely work. What do we know? We know that when you focus on punitive measures of bullying, that doesn't work. But actually focusing on a positive school climate transforms a school. Right? Focusing on social emotional learning, professional development for your teachers and staff. It's something that, is really powerful. And that's where, again, this work is rooted in thinking about how to support the well-being, the mental health and well-being of young people, and really doubling down on building safe, supportive, kind, brave online communities.
It's sort of like in everything we do, if we could focus on that, include more youth voice, right? Centering youth voices, I feel like we would sort of prevent our own burnout and stay engaged in this really important work. Where do people go if they want to get more involved, more information? I mean, you mentioned the Be There certificate. I don't know if you talk a little bit more about that. I know you had a kindness campaign with cotton.org. Did I get that right? I mean, I'm always seeing exciting things coming from Born This Way Foundation. Where could people get more information or more involved?
Well, they can certainly earn your Be There certificate, and you can get that at betherecertificate.org. But again, going back to the importance of the research that shows that including young people in the decision making, everything that we do, to your point, like there's all these initiatives that are happening. We include young people in the decision making, and I will use a recent example, which is very exciting to share, and you already touched upon it. We recently launched our, this is the second year, Kindness and Community Fund. And what was so unique about this round is that we extended it globally. And so and uniquely, every central to our work, every step of the way, young people were a part of the decision-making process. So staying true to the ethos of our organization. And so this year, in partnership with the Australia brand, fashion brand company, Cotton On, our Kindness and Community Fund, it provided $3 million worth of grants to 65 organizations across 10 different countries, globally, which is very exciting. And the funds essentially support providing directly addressing the emerging and changing mental health needs of young people, and importantly, providing free and accessible resources. What we love about this was that, as I said, young people were a part of every step and stage of the way. And so young people around the world, they nominated the organizations, those from the community nominated them. And then also they provided their input and perspectives to any, the needs of. So, for example, in South Africa, one organization that was funded is called Waves for Change. And Waves for Change,
Waves in Australia. I see it. I hear
they provide surf therapy, which is
it.
pretty amazing. And really just thinking about, the unique needs of our communities and making sure that those decisions are rooted in the local needs specifically. So, but to your point, you can go on to our website. You can check out the different different organizations, more information about our kindness and community grants, and you can also look at like the different programs that we have. We have Be Kind 365, which is an online platform where every single day you can do an act of kindness. We know from our research that giving and receiving kindness improves your mental health. So we have activities that you can, get prompted to do on a daily basis for 365 days of the year. And those activities are rooted in science. They're tied to peer-reviewed papers
That's what I wanted to hear. That
always, but again, there's an actionable strategy for you to do that's rooted in science. And we certainly we have the Be There certificate. We have our Storytellers Club, where we meet regularly and encourage young people to journal and share their stories around their experiences. A lot of our youth advisory board members, they actually do as well. They share Channel Kindness blog stories, and so we have tons of ways for you to get involved, and we encourage you to get involved by checking out our website and seeing what interests you and how you'd like to be involved.
Yeah, a couple more questions. If you don't mind, you said share their stories. That is such a powerful mechanism. I mean, working as a practitioner with middle school and high school kids, I'm in awe of how celebrities, the impact and the influence that celebrities can have in teenagers and youth when a celebrity comes out and shares their story or encourages them to get involved or share their story or takes away the stigma around this work. And I think clearly, I mean, Cynthia as a co-founder is so passionate about this work. I've had the pleasure of talking her directly to that effect. Lady Gaga, I mean, how she can't be involved in the day-to-day kinds of stuff, but she knows clearly what beautiful work she's created and is doing, right? I mean,
Yeah, this foundation is near and dear. She and her mother co-founded it,
yeah.
and their stories, we know the important, the value of storytelling. And so that is why part of our, I always say culturally informed approaches are narrative based, right? And so when we, science, as much as I said, I could geek out about the science, but at the end of the day, it's telling the stories about the science that make it land, that make it digestible, that make it accessible, that make it understandable. And who better to speak and tell stories than young people themselves who are having their own experiences, and sharing their experiences. And when they share their experiences, it normalizes these conversations, and it creates a safe space to feel, wow, I'm not alone in these feelings that I'm having. And again, going back to that online space, it's providing a supportive community online by feeling like you feel understood. Although you may not, have the conversation, you feel understood by some stories that you hear of others sharing.
Gosh, I mean, I have a million questions, but maybe one more, and then I have to ask you about burnout because this is a whole nother
Oh,
piece
yes, I
of
love
the
talking
work that
about
I do, right?
burnout.
But I know the data, the research that you're talking about, right, is that one in three young people say they lack like reliable access to resources to support their mental health. And a big part of that, I mean, we know the shortages in our own profession. For those that are listening, they're nodding their heads about their ratios and roles. And youth cite knowing where to go, but at the cost of those barriers, I mean, to get them. So, I mean, I guess the question's like, how do we amplify the role of school psychologists in addressing sort of these data points, right? I mean, I'm just always looking for answers outside the profession as to how do we connect youth to these resources. I mean, you just described amazing work that you're doing at Born This Way Foundation and really approachable kinds of materials. What advice would you give schools or districts that what they could be doing?
Oh, that's a great question. And it's one that is near and dear to my heart. Back in 2011, I was part of a team that opened up a school and we built the systems and structures from the ground up. And so this is something we thought about and very often is how, and how do we provide support? So importantly, and this is familiar to all school psychologists. Importantly, we want to think of that multi-tiered systems of support, right? And so the reality is, that idea of 1-to-1 ratio it's just incredibly challenging to implement inside schools. So thinking that first tier, importantly, is to really think about peer-to-peer support. The first thing I did when we opened up a school, I started an ambassador program where young people were trained to, be bystanders. They were trained to look out for one another. They were trained so peer-to-peer support through the Be There certificate. It's a free, accessible tool, a resource, 90 minutes, and young people can take it and they learn the skills in mental health literacy, right? So having that right there will help out. Tier two is really then thinking about, and this comes back to thinking about, like the Storytellers Club that we have. So tier two is thinking about students who may experience greater risk due to different factors, right? Thinking about them as subgroups and creating a group community and supporting them and having, creating that Storytellers Club, similar to how we operate ours, but where they can share their stories and create connectivity with one another around some of their shared experiences that they may have, right? And then tier three is really thinking more about how connecting to community organizations who can also be supportive, because we can't rely solely on schools. And we and we and it takes a village. We know this. And so really thinking then about how to connect so that if someone does need additional support, if they need to, have a psychiatric evaluation, or if there needs to be a crisis, a risk assessment, or anything like that, that there is a connection to someone in the community that you can work with, right? And so by creating more of a system of care, as opposed to you solely as, because we know the numbers. The number, some school psychologists, it's, 500 kids to one, and sometimes more,
A
unfortunately.
lot more. Yeah, in
Yeah,
some
so
places.
it's
Yeah,
the
yeah.
reality is that it's to be effective, it's about creating a system of support, and that system has to, again, training student ambassadors to, with the Be There certificate, to be pro to provide, that universal support.
Yeah.
And then recognizing when you can, having different like advisory programs is another, that's a tier two piece potentially, or even a tier one, depending on how you approach it. So those would be some of my recommendations. And please feel free to ask it, if you have additional.
No. I mean, to your point, it's the only way we're going to get this done is if we are using that model and we are working together, because yeah, it's just not going to be able to fall on any one person's shoulders. So
And the reality is, to the next question on burnout, right?
yeah.
That's a seamless transition.
It was.
Your point, this work is incredibly important, and we need you. We need you. You go into this field because you care about young people.
Yeah.
That's why you go into this field. So
Yep.
we need you. So we can't afford to have you to burn out. And I will be the first to say it is much easier to prevent burnout than it is to recover from burnout. Recovering from burnout can take an incredibly long time.
Yeah.
But prevention is key.
Yeah.
And I also want to highlight, I practice what I preach, because,
Okay,
I
good.
often hear about people who, like, you're eating well, you're exercising, you're doing all the things, right? But something's not sinking. And it's because you need a community.
Yeah.
You need a community.
Yeah, it's the engagement part. I mean, I'm curious, and I know listeners want to know, what do you do, Dr. Santi Fernandez, on self-care, maybe tennis, right? Other kinds of
Yes.
things. But to your other point, right, what brings you joy, right? I mean, and it's that engagement in the work that you do, the passion around the work you do.
When I it's the I love the work I do, and I am grateful to do it, and it is an honor to do this work. And it's also, for me, there's also another component of just hanging out with young people. We don't have to go deep into the weeds, and sometimes just hanging out with them, we did pumpkin carving this weekend, just like, and I was a judge, like doing things like that. It's just so I it's spending time with them. They keep me honest, they keep me real, they call me out. I mean, it's just, I love hanging out with young people.
You
But
tap into their energy,
yeah,
yeah.
totally. And it makes me feel young. But the second part is also important too, and that's, it's just disconnecting too, and finding things outside of work as well. Because the work is so important, and it's passionate. We are all passionate about the field, and so you can work around the clock because you care so much. You also have to carve out time to disconnect, because I feel like sometimes taking a step away allows me to come back even more fully. Because if you don't, then you start to feel a bit weathered by not just weathered by not having a break. So for me, I play tennis. That is my new thing. I just started this summer. I love tennis, and I'm going to reclaim my 8th grade tennis championship title. I haven't played in many, many years, but I started playing. It was humbling to play and be really bad. It was humbling to not hit the ball inside the court.
But I love that you're holding on to. In the 8th grade, I had a moment.
I was a doubles championship winner. So we are going to go back to those days. We'll find them. But finding that peace and totally disconnecting, and then I come back and I be fully present in the work and get in the weeds and
We don't give ourselves permission to take those breaks sometimes when we're in this work. And I think that's just amazing advice about prevention is easier than coming back from the burnout and taking those breaks for ourselves, just prioritizing ourselves.
Yeah, definitely.
Claudia, I need to do another podcast with you because I didn't even ask you any questions about Portugal and our
Oh,
shared love and culture, being Portuguese.
and our love of pastéis
Oh my
de
gosh. Oh my gosh. My daughters, when we go to visit the country where my dad is born, they rate them everywhere we go. They rate a new pastry, and they've gotten pretty good. Surprisingly, the airport in Lisbon has some pretty great
Oh.
pastéis.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. I would agree because Belém, which is like
Yes,
a
not
mecca
far.
of pastéis de nata, is right there. So they don't mess up at the Lisbon
They do not mess around. That's
airport
exactly
in
right.
Lisbon. They don't. It's definitely it could benefit from some updates to the airport itself, but the cafes in the airport, chef's kiss. Perfection.
So true, so true. Claudia, well, thank you for joining me. Honestly, on World Mental Health Day, this is a
Yes.
nice full circle, right? The entire world, thanks to the UN, is celebrating World Mental Health Day. I cannot think of a better person to spend that day with than you. So thank you. Thank you.
It was an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to the next in our series on Portuguese cuisine and well-being.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you again to Claudia for this incredible conversation about the challenges and opportunities surrounding this space and the amazing work coming from the Born This Way Foundation, especially around research to practice. I hope that school psychologists listening to this conversation will come away with a sense of empowerment and a desire to get involved in this work. That way, we can take this conversation and put it into action. We'll be back with another episode of Catalysts in Conversation soon. Until then, I'm Peter Faustino. Thank you for listening.